Welcome back to Japan Edge for all things Japan. I want to start off by expressing my deepest gratitude for those of you who've come back to listen to my podcast. I'm so happy that I'm seeing more people coming back to tune in, and it's just so encouraging to me. Again, thank you. And for those of you listening for the first time, welcome. I hope you'll enjoy getting some inside information on what's happening in Japan, getting the stories with perspectives of the locals that are not often shared outside of Japan. Okay, today's featured music that's running right now and also at the end of this episode is called Photograph by Tokyo Sky Paradise Orchestra and Atsushi. And this was the theme song for the 2023 Summer Koshi. I've written the YouTube link for this song, so please do check him out when you have the time. So, let's get things going. I had initially planned on sharing a different story, but given the recent developments in regards to Shohei Ohtani and Ippei Mizuhara, I thought it would be interesting to share with you how the news surrounding Ohtani had been perceived here in Japan. Now, I do want to emphasize up front that my intention is not to suggest that we should believe in him no matter what. Whether it be Shohei or anyone, there should always be clear factual evidence to judge a case and that the final verdict should be decided by the court. My intention for today, rather, is to share with you stories that might give you more of a personal picture of Shohei. Because I do feel that for many people outside of Japan, he is just a famous two-way player with a $700 million contract. Japanese, on the other hand, have had a pretty long history of following Shohei on to becoming an international superstar. And with this episode, I think it would start to make sense for you as to why there's so much support for Shohei among the Japanese. Generally, apart from a few sensationalists seeking clicks on YouTube, the prevailing sentiment among the Japanese people was one of pure confidence in Ohtani. Of course, it was dealt with on the news every day, but there didn't seem to be a panicky commotion at all. Instead, people's conversation was more on the potential impact this might have on his mentality and his baseball performance. So we were hoping for a quick investigation, but that wasn't because we felt we needed evidence that would answer to our doubts, but rather because we wanted to prove quickly to the world that he was innocent. This difference in reaction between Japan and the rest of the world, I think, can largely be attributed to the difference in the number of years the public has known Ohtani. I have a feeling that many people outside Japan have come to know him in 2021, which was the year that he made his mark as a definite two-way player with the Angels. And this was the year when he got his first American League MVP. But the Japanese have been familiar with him since as far back as 2012. So that's what, 12 years ago. Ohtani first gained his prominence during his high school years, particularly through his standout performances in the Summer National High School Baseball Tournament, which we call Koshien. His high school has long been one of the consistent contenders of the championship, and Ohtani's exceptional talent gained widespread recognition across the nation through this Koshien. Then came Ohtani's announcement to seek a career in the MLB straight out of high school, which was simply totally unprecedented. Back in those days, it was almost a taboo to be even suggesting going to the U.S. straight after high school. But rather than working things out behind the scene, hiding, he held a press conference in his senior year in high school, declaring that he would be looking into joining the MLB rather than a Japanese organization. Despite the rising criticism and skepticism in the baseball community, Nippon Ham Fighters and in particular, the manager at the time, Mr. Kurihara, voiced their support for Shohei, honoring his commitment of becoming a two-way player. And it was only after the fighters made a series of presentations promising Shohei that they would provide a tailored development program specifically for him to achieve his ultimate goal that Shohei decided to join the fighters. Now, this was just unheard of, that a student would show such resolve to go after his goal, and Shohei showed no hesitation in speaking out. So, for some, he was simply a bold, overconfident kid. But for many, he was one guy with strong will, not wavering to social norms. I want to share with you just a couple of episodes that shed light to his devotion to baseball. When he joined the professional baseball team, the Nippon Ham Fighters, after high school, he lived in their dormitory. Now, it was mandatory for all rookies to live in the dorm for a certain time period, but obviously all players leave the dorm the moment they are allowed to leave, but not Shohei. He ended up not leaving the dorm ever throughout his years with the Fighters. He lived in the dorm for 5 years until he left the organization to join the Angels. He was saying that he didn't want any distractions in his life and that everything that he needed was there in the dorm. So his life really was centered around baseball, and he showed no interest in anything else. And we have seen so many instances that show just how much of a baseball nerd he is. One hilarious example that I want to share with you is an interview by the fashion magazine GQ. And it was a short interview documentary asking Shohei what his 10 most favorite items were. Now, he went on introducing his weird gadgets, which no one could relate to unless you were a professional sports player. And I think 6 out of 10 were sleep-related and 4 were workout-related. And it was just so funny how he would ramble on about the details of the gadgets with his typical shy-looking smile, but he looked so happy talking about them. And I still remember how he talked about his favorite eye mask, which, according to him, had just the right curve to block the light but didn't pressure his eyes too much, or something along this line. And remember, this was GQ, a fashion magazine interview. So we were all like, okay, this is it's Shohei, so what else would you expect? Now, this is the kind of thing that we have been seeing all along for the past 12 years. Another episode, which I think is the most telling, is about an incident that happened in 2017, which was during his years with the Fighters. Mr. Kurihara, the manager of the Fighters at the time, who I mentioned earlier, the one that recruited Shohei, by the way, he was the manager of Team Japan in WBC last year. Well, anyway, he was a guest in a TV program and he was being interviewed a whole bunch of questions. And then they started talking about Shohei. Then Mr. Kurihara started sharing an incident that occurred in the team and it went like this. It was customary for the team fighters to have one key person make a speech before the first game of the season. In 2017, he chose Ohtani to be the one to make the speech, since he was one of the key players that contributed to the team's championship the previous year in both the Pacific League and the World Series. Now, I'm going to give you a direct translation of what Shohei said as his speech. According to Kurihara-san, the manager, Shohei said to everyone, "Okay, so you want to have fun. You want to go out drinking. You want to do so many things. Well, if that is how you're going to be, you're never going to win." You're never going to win with that kind of an attitude. If you want to win, you play ball and nothing else. Now, please imagine, he was in his fifth year with the fighters, only 23 years old. And there were, at the time, senior superstars that were the faces of the team. So, in a society where age hierarchy is strong and prevalent, it was simply unreal for a young player to challenge his superiors. So the manager, Kurihara, was saying in the interview that although he completely understood where Ohtani was coming from, because many of those superstars were talented, but they were known as party men, and some of them were even caught by the tabloids for their misdemeanor during their off season. But still, he was really shocked to see that Shohei actually confronted them. So this display of leadership, despite his junior status within the team hierarchy, it's a famous episode that is mentioned often as a typical example of Ohtani's uncompromising pursuit of excellence and winning the game of baseball. He hates wrong, and he is known for not leaving wrong as wrong. He's known to be super hard on himself, and he's also hard on others. And there are just so many episodes like this about him, and we Japanese have been exposed to them all throughout the years. One last thing that I want to discuss is about his childhood environment. I think it's important to note that he was born and he grew up in a very remote part of Japan. He's from Iwate, which is one of the northern prefectures in Japan, where there really isn't much going on. No offense to the people of Iwate, but really, it's a countryside. So it's not like Tokyo, where people don't know each other and live in somewhat of a cutthroat environment and be skeptical of each other and keep your distance. The towns are calm, very much community-based, where everyone knows everyone and people help each other out. And since there's hardly any newcomer coming into the community, a person born and raised in the community do tend to be somewhat naive and innocent. And it's not just Shohei Ohtani, but this tends to be the case with many people. So we do often hear about people moving into Tokyo and then fall under depression. So really, Shohei's friendliness, his naiveness, if you will, partly comes from his upbringing. And on top of that, he's the youngest of the three children in his family. So he grew up in an environment where everybody took care of him. He started focusing on baseball at a very young age too, and people around him provided the ideal environment for him. And that continued up to this day. So in a way, many Japanese interpreted this whole incident as a result of Shohei basically having been an extreme baseball nerd. And on top of that, his drive for winning and his, I guess we could say, somewhat of a pampered environment that has allowed him to just focus on what he wanted to do. And yes, many of us here do think that he should at least have paid just a bit more attention to other aspects of his life, other than baseball. But hey, no one's perfect. And I truly think he has learned his lesson. This whole thing is such a tragedy, and I feel heartbroken the more I hear about this 37-page indictment. On November 15th, 2021, Shohei had a press conference here in Tokyo. He was back in Japan after his successful year. And in the press conference, one reporter asked him to whom he felt he owed his success the most. And then he replied, "Above all, Ippei Mizuhara, for being by my side, always supporting me in every way possible." Now, we are learning that on this very day, November 15th, 2021, Ippei made his first unauthorized wire payment to the bookie from Shohei's account. And as recent as this January at the BBWAA Awards dinner in New York, Shohei made a speech thanking the Angels organization and then the Dodgers and then the fans, his agents, and then Ippei again for supporting him throughout the way. And this was the month that Ippei started buying $325,000 worth of trading cards using Shohei's account. I just cannot imagine the emotions that Shohei has had since he found out about this. You know, he may be getting a lot of money and he may be called a unicorn, but he is a human. And I also feel it's a tragedy for Ippei too, ruining his life over gambling and leading a false life. It just makes you realize how far addiction could ruin people's lives. And it makes you think how weak we humans are in all respects. And moreover, I really cannot help but think how precious it is to have someone who really cares about you. I just hope that we move on from this and we keep in our hearts the many lessons that have come out of this. This wraps up today's episode of Japan Edge. I hope this discussion has offered you some insights into the thoughts of the local Japanese people. I understand that you may not have agreed to all of my opinions, but I do hope you now have a better picture of the relationship between Shohei and us Japanese. The bond between Shohei and many of us here extends far beyond athletic performance, and it's a result of years of shared experiences. So it's actually understandable why the Dodgers would make such a significant investment in him. They likely recognize the value his connection with the Japanese people brings, which had been cultivated over many years. So, I hope to catch you in my next episode. Until then, またね。さよなら。